Hello, good morning, church. Thank you. Good morning, church. Once again, it's a great privilege to see you all. And praise the Lord for the wonderful opportunity. I am really so sorry to hear regarding Pastor Jay's father-in-law. And I met Pastor Jay on Friday. He told me that he's going to see his father-in-law and say bye to him. And God has given a couple of hours to spend with him. You know, he's in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. Being a people, we feel sad. We feel painful when we lose somebody whom we love. But, you know, God rejoices because it's our eternal home. Sometimes we feel like this is our permanent home. No, not at all. One day or other day, we need to get out of this world. This world is a temporary. And praise God for that. Today morning, I just want to thank the Lord for the wonderful opportunity. I want to thank Pastor and the church, especially for the opening the door for the missionaries to come over and speak about what is happening. And I want to thank you all for your support, sacrificial support we are receiving from the church. And I really appreciate you for that. Because of your support, we are able to move on. We are able to serve the Lord and witness about Jesus Christ. We are able to carry the gospel to the world. In this world, there are so many special days. Kind of, you know, some people have a Valentine's Day, speaks about love. Some people have an Independence Day. In India, they celebrate, of course, here also, they celebrate a couple days in particular. Tuesday is going to be the election day in America. Of course, I'm going back to the India that day. So I will see from India what is happening. I will watch there from India what is happening here. I believe that God is going to bring the leader which God wanted, not the people wanted. Basically, people wanted, we will mess up. What God wanted will be blessing for the nation, right? I hope you understand that. So there is a special days in the Bible too. Today is a particular special day because today is the day is praying for the people throughout the world who persecuted for the gospel. It's a wonderful privilege to pray. As brother mentioned, India is, according to the Open Door Ministries survey, India is in 11th position in persecution. We go through a lot of persecution. When I speak about it, many Americans doesn't have any clue about it, what we go through. In India, we don't have a freedom to worship. Even though we are worshiping in our own building, sometimes radicals may come up, they may attack. Honestly speaking, every Sunday is fearful. I mean, we don't know who comes. We don't know what do they do. We don't know. The other time, the guy came with a knife and he killed people from the church. And people are worshiping in the church. And they put the gasoline upon the building. They burned it. Lot of things we go through. I don't want you to be surprised about the persecution because Christ already spoke about it. You know, persecution is not a new thing. When you stand for the truth, when you stand for the right thing, people will persecute you. When you compromise with the world, when you go with the people, whatever they say, okay, no problem, buddy. When you say that, you have no problem. You enjoy in the world. You know, when you stand for the truth, when you say that I'm going to stand for the Lord in this world, then people will hate you. They don't like you because you stand for the truth. This morning, before I get into the message, I have a small video which speaks about persecution. And then I'll come back and I'll share about it. If the video is ready, we will watch.
Tribesman and his family also decided to follow Jesus. Even the chief himself became a follower of Jesus Christ. The tribesman's last words became the song of the village, and today it is sung all around the world. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I have only presented about India, but think about all the world. Think about Pakistan. Think about Bhutan. Think about other nations which we go through the persecution for the cause of gospel. Today is, since a particular special day, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 12, please. I want to request you all to please do pray for the nations. Today is a special day, the day of prayer for the persecuted churches. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. We'll read verse number 5. Of course, from the verse number 1 onwards, the Bible says, I'm reading from the King James Version. Now about the time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James and his brother of John with the servant. Especially I will read verse number 5. And the Peter therefore was kept in prison, but the prayer was made without ceasing of the church out God for him. When we read this passage, basically, when we come to the Acts chapter number 12, it speaks about the persecution of the Christians in the first century. They've gone through a lot of persecution. They've gone through a lot of pain. I always write in my prayer letter by saying, church and persecution, they both are gone together. Church has always grown in the midst of the persecution. You know, in India, when we are attacked by the radicals, and I told you, I was in the prison for several times. When they asked me, why did you do this? I said unto them, see, I share the love of Jesus Christ towards people. When the people are trying to destroy their families, we go to them, we counsel them, and build their family. When the people are hungry, we feed them from the church. When the people are in disappointment and discouragement on the way to commit suicide and die, being a pastor, being a church, it's my responsibility to go to them and encourage them, building their life. That's what we are doing. I don't know why devil, you know, I don't know why people attack the people who stand for the gospel, who is showing the way to the heaven. But when we come to the Acts chapter number 12, Peter was kept in prison. Before the verses says, James was killed by the king Herod. And when we see about him, there are a few things I want to talk to you today. We'll stop this otherwise. Yeah, I don't need that. Thank you, sir. You can stop that. Thank you. I appreciate that. So basically, you know, when we read in Acts, you know, John chapter number 15, verse number 18, the Bible says, if the world hates you, you know that hated me before. The Christ says that. You know, if the people hated you for the reason, for the cause, you must understand they hated me before. When we read in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 10 and 11, it says, blessed are the people who persecuted for the Christ. You know, when the people persecute you, when they hate the people who are sharing the gospel, the Bible says they are the blessed people. They are the blessed people. In India, it's not easy. Honestly, it's not easy. As I mentioned earlier, you have a freedom of worship. You can come to the church. You can spend your time in the church. Nobody will say anything. In my country, when people are coming to the church, there are the people who block the road not to go to the church. There are the people, they say that if you go to the church, we will attack your family. We will come in the midnight and kill you. And in India, we go through kind of people, they say that if you believe on Lord Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? We are going to attack your family. You are not going to get any job. Even Manipur is the Christian state where we know the song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. This song is written by an Indian. You all know that. I mentioned earlier when I was here. The man was killed by the radicals. And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm not going to turn back anymore. They killed his wife and 2 children, but he didn't turn back. He stood for the Lord. Because of this man's faith, all the place in Manipur and the North India, they become a Christians. They know the Christ. But the problem is, recently, they were attacked by the radicals. All the churches has been burned. They do not have a food for a month. They were eating, you know, kind of pineapple. That is the fruit they get in the mountain. They eat pineapple to survive themselves for a month. You cannot eat pineapple for a month, man. No. Nobody can eat that. If somebody feeds you 100 burgers every day, eat a burger, I don't think anybody can eat the burger every day. There are people who love that. That's a different thing. You know, these people are surviving that way. And I spoke to Dr. Gary when I was going to the Manipur. I told him, this is the condition. People are struggling. They need something to eat. and I cannot able to carry the food from where I'm staying. We went there to buy the food actually there, and they said that we will not sell a food for you because you're going to carry this food and give it to the people who are in the mountains. They said that we will not sell. We said we offered them, we will give them more money. They said no, no, we are not going to sell a food for you. And we bought the food little in different shops. We group 10 people, divided into the different shops. We bought little, and we went to the back door and we loaded into the truck. We took the truck to the mountain and given the food to the people. Dear church, let me tell you, our responsibility today is we need to pray for the people, our brethren, who are persecuted for the cause of Christ. It's our responsibility. It can be in Africa, it can be in India, it can be anywhere in the world. They are our family. You know, I may be from India, you may be in America, but we are same. We worship same God. We are one family in Christ. We are one family in Christ. When our family members get hurt, when our family members go through the trouble, what we do? We try to be with them. We try to stand beside them. And I was reading several histories. You know, so many people. We know that one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, his name is Thomas, he came to India. He came to India in AD 52. He was killed by the radicals. While he was praying, somebody came with a big knife, a tall knife, and he pushed him in at the back and they killed him. They killed him brutally. One of the missionaries, he came, his name is Graham Staines. He came to India to preach the gospel. He and his son name is Philip, 10 years old. His another son name is Timothy, 6 years old. They were sleeping in the car right after the meeting. The radicals came and they put the gas on the car. They burned. This man said, let the at least boys go out. He's a professional, he's a doctor. He's helping the people who has a leprosy. He did a good thing for the people, helping the people. Helping the victims who are living out of the society and cleaning their wounds and doing the things and feeding them. Some people, when you do the good, other people doesn't like it. Because they don't do good, when you do good, they don't like it. That's what they did. And they killed him. We know called the man called Jim Elliot. He went to the, you know, Indians. He was killed along with him. 5 missionaries were killed. In the 1980, you know, Catholic missionary, they came to India. In Indian people, they did the gang rape and killed. I can read out so many people how they were killed by the radicals throughout the world. North Korea, they go through the persecution. And it's, you know, there are the top 15 countries, North Korea. You know, we cannot carry the gospel. Somalia, we cannot carry the gospel. Liberia, you know, they go through the persecution. The Yemen, Nigeria, Pakistan, Sudan, Iran, Afghanistan, India, Syria, Saudi Arabia. These are all the countries. It's very hard to preach the gospel. Dear church, when we have a privilege to worship God, we neglect to worship. When we have a privilege to spend time with the Lord, we don't spend time with the Lord. Being a church, it's our responsibility. Well, today morning, I just want to ask a simple question. What is our duties? Or else, what is your duty towards persecuted churches? What can we do today? As we read the passage, I want to mention 4 important things, very simple things, very quickly. The first thing, what can we do for the persecuted churches is, we can pray for them. We can pray for them. Peter was in the prison. They were arrested because when the Roman government, they arrested somebody, they will never make it. They will never come back. Because the passage is, you know, chapter number 12, Acts chapter number 12, verse number 2, and they killed James, brother of James, you know, the brother of John. John's brother, James, was killed. He was killed by them. And the Peter was arrested. Who is the next guy who is going to be killed by them? Peter, supposed to be. You know, Peter was in the chains. The Bible says, verse number six, when we read, when the Herod would have brought him forth, and the same night Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers. He was chained. I don't understand how he's sleeping, but he's sleeping in the prison. He's sleeping. You know, we go through the persecution. We don't feel anything. I mean, I feel like, you know, one day, other day, we are going to die. If you die for the Christ, that's going to be the glorious thing. Glorious thing. Glorious thing. You know, Peter was sleeping and he was in the prison. You know, they thought to kill him. What the church is doing? The verse number 5, the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in the prison. The church, what the church is doing? But the prayers was made without ceasing. Without ceasing. They're praying the people. Prayer is a powerful tool that can change the things. When you pray, God will open the doors. God will protect the people. What we need today, being a persecuted church, we need our prayers. We need our prayers. Pray for us. That's the reason Paul says to the churches and brethren, please pray for me. Pray for me. As he is traveling, Paul is the man, when we read in the book of Corinthians, you know, when he was serving the Lord, you know, they stoned him, they dragged him to the out of the city. Paul did not give up. Paul is the man who most persecuted. After believing in Lord Jesus Christ, rather being outside, he was in the prison most of his life. But the prison could not stop his gospel. I was mentioning the other day when we read the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 12 to 14 or 15, it says, Paul was in the prison, the gospel went to the furtherance. You know, preacher is in the prison, but not the gospel. Paul is never worried about the bonds. Paul is never worried about the difficulties. Paul is all, he focused on the God. He wants to take the gospel. He wants to carry the gospel. He wants to tell the gospel to the lost soul. That is his intended. That's what he did. Being a Christian, being a fellow brethren, what is your responsibility today? We must pray for the people. Somebody said this. The places where we cannot go, their prayer can go. Let me repeat it. The places where you cannot, me cannot go, the prayer can go. You don't have to go to the Pakistan. If God calls you, praise the Lord, we can go and preach the gospel there. If you cannot go, you can take the paper and pray for them. Take the country picture and put your hand up on that. Pray for the country. Pray for the America. Pray for the nations. Pray for the people who are persecuted for the cause. Today, our responsibility is we need to pray for the people who are persecuted for the cause. Second thing, what we can do is we can support them. How can you support them? We can support them morally. We can stand beside them. We can tell them, we love you. Brother, we are with you. When somebody goes through the pain, when somebody goes through the difficulty, when you go to beside them and put your hand or shoulder on them, saying, you know, brother and sister, be strong in the Lord. We are with you. We are praying for you. You know, how much that gives encouragement. You know, you don't need to give you don't need to do great things. You just stand beside them and encourage them. That's the reason when we read the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, even as it is a meat for the thing, this of all, because I have you in my heart. Paul is speaking about it. And he also mentions in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse number 2, we need to bear the burdens of one another. You know, whenever Paul is in difficulty, whenever Paul is in the problem, whenever Paul goes through the difficulty and pain, the church in Philippi, they stood with Paul. They sent the gift to him. I mean, they supported whatever the way they could. Today, being a church, what is our responsibility towards persecuted churches? The first thing, we can pray for them. Second thing, we can support them. We can stand with them. When you stand with them, that will give a great encouragement for them. The third thing what we need to do is, as I earlier mentioned, third thing what we need to do is, we can encourage. Second one is a support. Third one is, of course, it is an encouragement. Encouragement in the sense, the Bible speaks about it. You know, Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 16, the Bible says, keep loving each other. Keep loving each other. You know, when somebody is in the battlefield, when somebody is in the mission field, when somebody is standing in the battlefield in the first role, it is our responsibility to encourage them and also support them, saying to them, we are going to be with you. We are going to pray for you. You be in the battlefield. Let the Lord work through you so that the God will glorify. God will glorify. When you have a concern, when you have a concern for the lost souls, you will have a concern for the persecuted people. They are the front row people. They stand for the gospel. They stand. You know, persecution can come from anywhere. These days, you know, persecution may not be sometime in it. It may not be beaten. It may not be kept in the prison. It may not be. Persecution can come anywhere. There are social persecutions. There is economic persecution. There are so many kinds of persecutions a human being go through. Some of the times, the government is directly involved in the persecution to persecute the churches and the people. So it is our responsibility to encourage them. You know, the Bible says about it. You know, the people, why do they persecute? Why do they have to go through? Because they don't like God. I told you the other time, when I was in India, my daughter asked me a question. The question is very simple. Daddy, why do our neighbors hate us? When they go out, her friends said that we don't want to play with you because we don't like to be with you. We hate you. She was 3 years old at the time. She came by crying. She asked me, the question she asked me, Daddy, why do our neighbors hate us? That's a question. And I said to my daughter, honey, they hate you because they hate our God. They hate the truth. In India, we have a gods of 330 million gods. Indians worship 330 million gods. It's close to the population of America. But the problem is, when you preach the gospel in India, when you say Jesus is a God, they have no problem. When you say Jesus is the God, Jesus is the only way, you are in trouble. When you say Jesus is a God, they can add another God for the 330 million people, million gods. But Jesus is the only way in truth and life. Being a Christian, it's our responsibility. We need to pray. We need to support. We need to encourage. The final thing I just want to mention and close. The final thing is, you need to be strong. Today, I'm not trying to discourage you by showing the video what we go through in India, throughout the world. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to tell you, there is a persecution in the world for the truth. You must be strong. You must be strong enough. You must be ready. You know, you don't have to worry about it because God is a God who can reward you. You know, that's what the Bible says when we read in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 10 and 11 says, we are the blessed who suffer for the Christ. We are the blessed. And if we read in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15, the Bible says, we must prepare for the persecution. There are the people who ask you, they may question you for your faith. You must be ready to answer them. We also need to keep our clear conscience midst of the persecution. God has given a warning for us. One day we are going to go through the persecution. Being a Christian, being a children of God, you be strong. You may not be experiencing today. It may come. We don't know. It may come. I'm not intending to you to go through the suffering. No. But it may come. I'm trying to say, be strong. Be strong. There are so many people, you know, when you go through the persecution, they just give up and go off.
You just deny Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus. There is no problem. There is no persecution at all. Even in India, if you don't share the gospel, nobody is going to persecute you. Nobody is going to do anything with you. When you share the gospel, when you do the work of the Lord, people will come upon you. Dear church, when Peter was in the prison, the church congregation prayed. You know what happened? The beauty is, the angel came down. And when we read in verse number 7, behold, angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and smite Peter on the side, and rise up, saying, rise up quickly, and come out. You know, Peter, you know, angel of the Lord came, and it was bringing Peter out. Angel is bringing Peter out. The chains was broken, because the prayer of the church has did a lot of transformation. Transformation. Dear church, today, as a believer, it is our responsibility to pray for our fellow brethren. To pray for the people who are going through the persecution. If you even go through the sometime, if even you're accused for the being a right, don't worry about it. Be strong. You know, I tell some of the time, you know, when the people doesn't believe you, when you say truth, forget about it. Truth cannot change. Truth is not based on somebody's belief. Truth is the truth. Who can change the truth? Somebody says, I don't believe you. You don't believe. Who told you to believe? Don't believe. And I mean, try to say that truth, the fact cannot change. Fact is the fact. When you stand for the truth, people may try to insult you, try to humiliate you, try to persecute you, try to hate you. You know, when you follow Jesus Christ, there are so many things we are going to lose. But be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. There is a great reward in heaven. That's the reason when we read in the Bible speaks about it. I just want to mention one verse here. When we read Corinthians chapter number, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 10, the Bible says, therefore, I take a pleasure in infirmities and reproach. And he speaks about in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong in the Lord. Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong in the Lord. Dear church, being a church, our responsibility, pray for the people who are persecuted. When you follow Christ, what happens? What happens? There are a few things happens when Christ say. One thing, the first thing, they'll persecute you. When we follow, the second thing, they will hate you. The third thing, what happens? We may lose our life. We may lose our life. The fourth thing, what happens? We may lose the reputation in this world. There is no respect at all. In India, if you believe on Lord Jesus Christ, you lose your identity. They will consider you as the lowest caste of the society. If you say a Christian, you don't get the job. I was talking to one of my church members the other day. He is working in the government of India. And he said, I never claimed myself as a Christian. I asked him, why didn't you claim? He said, if I say I'm a Christian, I've been working for the government of India since 30 years. I need to pay all the salary back. Can you believe that? When somebody says that to you, what do you think about it? Sometimes we may lose the reputation of this world. Sometimes it's going to be the suffering for the Christ's sake. Sometimes it can cause a death. But we never worried about it. Because one day or other day, we are going to die. But when we do something, when you achieve something for the kingdom of God, that will be rewarded in the heaven. One day the glorious day is going to come. We are going to see the Christ face to face. We are going to meet him in the person. He's going to reward us the work what we did. Today, as an international day of the prayer for the persecuted churches, prayer is a powerful weapon. When you pray, people can be comforted. When you pray, people can get saved. When you pray, God can make impossible things to be possible. Prayer is a prayer is a powerful tool. Problem is, so many churches, so many people have forgotten to pray. They have forgotten to pray because they think that prayer doesn't work. No, prayer works. I experienced it in my life many times. Prayer works. Prayer works. Somebody said, if you kneel down before God, you can stand before anybody. When you kneel down before God, you can stand before anybody. When you start your day, spend some time with the Lord every day. Talk to Him. As we talk to our parents, as we talk to our children, talk to Him. And being our church, to be honest with you, trust my words, my church, people pray at least 6 to 8 hours in a day. Not a weekly. 8 to 6 hours. You may ask me, what do you pray for 6 hours? I cannot able to pray for a minute. When you have a big list of prayer needs, the persecuted nation and people who go through the difficulty, salvation of the people, we have a big list. Our prayer is not completed sometimes, 8 hours too. We keep praying. And Peter was in prison. The church kneeled down before the Lord. When they kneeled down before the Lord, the chains was broken. The angel of the Lord brought him out. Why didn't we pray today? As a church, so does Bible Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Let's look to the Lord for the people who've been persecuted, who've been going through the hatredness, who lost their lives, who lost their loved ones. Some people lost everything. You know, the David Livingstone, he went to the Africa as a missionary. He lost his leg, he lost his arm, he lost his eye for sharing the gospel. When he died, people came from England to take him. From Africa, people said that we need his heart. You bury his heart here, take the body. David Livingstone's heart is buried there. They've just taken the body. Your prayers means a lot. Let's pray. Brother, let's pray.